Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your abundant goodness to us. We thank you that you are the treasure of great prize, the pearl of great prize, Lord Jesus. Please, would we feast our eyes on that treasure again today? Would we be enthralled by it? Would we see your purposes more clearly today for looking at your word? Come and do your spiritual work in us, we pray, because we need it, Lord. We're people who get stressed and confused, and our mental health isn't always great. So we ask, Lord, for you to come and do your work in us, in your great mercy and kindness, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Faith plays a big part in our lives as humans. Without it, we would never buy anything. Without faith, we wouldn't eat anything or believe anything. We exercise faith every day when we go to the shops, when we put a fork in our mouth with food on it. When a sandwich comes from a friend, we don't interrogate them asking whether they're planning to poison us or not, but we believe that they're acting in good faith. We have faith in them. And we have to do this to live in the world in a way that makes sense, a life that isn't full of anxiety, and to live productively. Faith is such a big theme in the Bible as well. The Lord asks us to have faith in him, which is something we struggle with, but nonetheless, he asks us to have it, and we're going to see reasons why we should. In Matthew's gospel, the disciples are on the lake. It's a very well-known story. A huge storm blows up, and they're like, "Where's Jesus? We're going to die. We need him." They really start panicking, and I'll take the story up in Matthew 8. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Jesus spots their faith and he wants them, spots their fear rather, and he wants them to have faith in place of it. And I think there's a constant sense in the Christian life that if we don't have faith in Jesus, we will always fear the storm. We'll fear what's going to happen. And when we're in the storm, we'll be terrified. All kinds of things will cross our mind, and we're really going to struggle to cope as Christians. Yes, we might know that Jesus has secured heaven for us through faith in him, but we'll be pulled all over the place on our way to heaven. We'll be tossed about on the waves when Jesus perhaps will say to us, "You have little faith." He invites us to increase our faith in him. He wants to do that. That will be his gift to us. Faith in Jesus is something that makes such a difference in the Christian life. It's the way into the Christian life and the way on as well. You trust your friend for a sandwich, but oh, how you need to trust your friend from heaven to do life well as a Christian. It's important to stop us from feeling worried, afraid, and confused. And we've been thinking about the Christian's mental health over a few sessions now. Today we're seeing that faith is absolutely key. If, however, you are someone that recognises that your life's been dominated by worry, lack of faith, anxiety, then can I say, welcome to the family of God's forgiveness. He knows that we need to be constantly washed by the blood of Jesus and to be set on our feet again. When we are faithless, he is still faithful. He's there wanting you to ask him for forgiveness, and he hasn't given up on you. We need to trust our friend from heaven, so much more than our earthly friends. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we see this great list of faithful believers from the Old Testament. And we see in verse 1, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see." Don't look at what you can see alone going on around you. As a believer, look at God. We aren't to be those who trust people or things, circumstances that dictate the way we feel according to how those people are and those things and whether they are there for us and going to come through. No, we're to look to heaven and to look to God. Faith is not based on what we see. End of verse 1, it's assurance about what we do not see. You see, the Lord God wants us to trust in his Son from heaven, in our friend from heaven. It'll be good for us. It's the way that he set up the world. The Old Testament believers were pleasing to God because of their faith. You see this in verse 2? The ancients, by that it means the Old Testament believers, were commended for their faith. Only faith tells us why we're here as well. In verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Yes, we need faith about our existence, that we've come into existence because of the Lord God. And the New Testament would say, because he's sustaining us now through each day, giving us what we need. There's so much more I wish that we could get into in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a precious chapter on the value of faith and how faith does everything for us. But what I want us to do now is to jump to the story of Abraham in verse 8 and following as an example of someone who trusted in God rather than the things that he could see around him. Take a look at verse 8. It tells us that Abraham believed despite the so-called evidence around him. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, did not know where he was going, what that means is he didn't know all the details of the journey, and he didn't know exactly what it would be like when he got there. But we do read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, that God promised Abraham a land for himself and his offspring. And what we see is Abraham trusting God's word. As he faces a long journey, as he faces a lot of not knowing and all kinds of obstacles on the way, he chooses to believe God's word, that God has given him this land. God wants us to trust not just him, but his word. And we have his word in the Bible, which he works out in our lives and applies to our lives and reveals to us through prayer and discernment. When a friend comes and gives you a message, I take it that you believe their word. If they say to you, I'll meet you at Whitehaven Station at 8:30 a.m. and we'll go to Carlisle together, I take it that you don't interrogate them about whether they really intend to do that, whether their words are trustworthy. Otherwise, you won't stay friends for long. No, you believe them and you believe the thing that they've promised. How much more should we believe the words of our friend from heaven, the Lord Jesus? Trust his words, that you can put them into practice and that they'll be good for you and that they will always be the way of blessing rather than the way of curse. Trust your friend from heaven. That's what Abraham did, because we're told by faith he made his home in the promised land. I want to invite you to trust your friend from heaven by making faith an action word. Look, it's an action word for Abraham because he believed God and he lived like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. So he believed God, that God was leading him onto this city that he couldn't see yet, but he believed God's word and it affected how he lived. We're told here that he lived in tents. As a result of the fact that he believed in God's word. Similarly, we should make faith an action word by living now, simply for Jesus, radically for Jesus, taking risks for Jesus. In verse 11, we see that Sarah was also caught up in this life of faith because she believed God for a child. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. In the book of Genesis, God promises Abraham and Sarah a child, even though they're very old. And no one would have looked at them and thought that was possible. But they trusted God. Sarah believed her friend from heaven as well. And in verse 11, we're told that she did that because she knew God very well, because second half of verse 11, she considered him faithful who made the promise. It's talking about God there. So she knew him well. She had experience of him. And in the same way, the depth of our faith will be determined by the depth of our knowledge of God. So if we have just a little bit of knowledge of God, then probably our faith won't be that deep. God's inviting us to grow in knowledge so that we can grow in faith. So we don't just read the Bible to fill our heads full of knowledge, but to grow in faith so we can live more adventurously on God's mission here. So as I've invited you in our other two talks on the Christian's mental health, I want to encourage you to get up in the morning and remind yourself of who God is by beginning the day with the Bible. Don't pick up the phone and check your Facebook, first of all. Don't check your Twitter if you're someone who does that, or your emails. Don't check the news, first of all, but check God's word. Remind yourself that you can trust him. Sarah believed despite the evidence, because in verse 12 it tells us that Abraham was really over the hill. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, not very flattering, is it? Abraham was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. She believed God even when the situation looked bad. Sometimes it is as simple as making the decision to believe God, an act of the will. Lord, I will believe you for this today. I believe you that that you'll help me even though I face some difficult thing, and that you won't abandon me. We need to believe because of what God has promised. So his promises and his word. Because of what he's promised and because of where he has placed you. You know, God is sovereign, so he's in charge of everything, and his providence is always working for us. So what we mean by that is he puts us in the places where we need to be and gives us the things that we need each day, his providential care for us. So believe God because of what he's promised you in the Bible and where he's placed you. If he's put you in a certain place, then he'll give you what you need to serve him there. And as we draw to a close in this short talk on faith, I hope that we can see from Hebrews that faith is one of the most simple things, and yet it's one of the most complicated things in the Bible. It's simple because a child can have faith. A young child can have profound and deep faith in Jesus. And it's one of the reasons that Jesus directs us in the Bible to be childlike in our faith. Not childish, but childlike. And yet it's complicated because we can't begin to unravel the beautiful things that God gives to those who trust in him. Ultimately, he gives us heaven, but on the way, he's going to give us many wonderful things. Not everything that we ask for, but the things that we truly need and things that we would never have thought to ask for and which are truly wonderful. I think that this is borne out by verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards faith, not in worldly, earthly terms, but God is no man's debtor. And as we have faith, he replaces our fears with a right fear of him and a mind that is well and able to trust him and not to be full of fear and worry, a mind that is walking the path that Jesus has trod all the way to heaven and that other ordinary Christian saints have walked throughout the generations. Faith is good for the future. Ultimately, faith in Christ will take us to heaven, but it's also essential for here and now in this world. It's essential and it's good for our mental health. We have a fully trustworthy friend who has come from heaven, and so we can walk trusting him each day. Amen.